KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show, and I will be taking your calls. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. Have a relationship question? That number is 1-800-520-1534. You will talk to producer Kayla, tell her your story, and she can put you on air. But many of you have been sending in questions online, so let me get to some of those while Kayla's taking your calls. 1-800-520-1KFI. Okay, dear Dr. Wendy, I have this girl. We have known each other for 3 months. I wronged her by accusing her that she slept with my friend. So she blocked me for a while, and recently she unblocked me. After talking to her, she told me she had forgiven me, but she doesn't want to see me anymore. I still love her. What should I do? The reason why I wanted to answer this question on the air is because I want people of all genders to understand that when somebody says they're not interested in you and they do not want a relationship, you must move off, move away. Now the problem is yours, and the problem isn't solved by somehow trying to convince her to be into you. It's about you getting your self-esteem back, getting out there, finding a partner who loves and appreciates you. But we must pay attention to people's words. You know, I'll hear all the time, women will say to me, well, you know, when I first met him, he said he really didn't want a relationship. But, you know, we just started hooking up and we've been seeing each other, you know, for like 6 months. Should I ask him if he's my boyfriend? I'm like, well, you should have asked him long ago, first of all. But secondly, he told you he didn't want a relationship. And you went forward. So we have to pay attention to people's words. Okay, next listener. And Kayla, just jump in if you get any callers. If you'd like to call me with a relationship question, it is 1-800-520-1534. All right. One of our listeners writes to me, dear Dr. Wendy, I know that my husband loves me, but he's a super insensitive guy. No more romantic dates, no more sweet nothings. I'm getting frustrated in my own marriage. Do we still have hope? Okay, so I see a couple things here. One is communication. Have you told him you would like those things? Have you told him that you would like to be courted a little bit? And secondly, you know, one of the ways to make a partner, remind a partner who they're with, is to increase your value as a partner. Now, how do you do that? Obviously, you don't do it negative ways by trying to make them feel jealous, but you improve yourself. You get in shape. You practice more self-care. So you, even during COVID, put on some makeup and some high heels and you let them know. And then I also think just by this question, do we still have hope? Is you're really asking if you have hope, and only you can answer that question. And maybe it's time for the two of you to go to couples therapy. And if he refuses to do that, then you should go to therapy by yourself, because even one person can change the system of a relationship. And I'm also want to throw in there one other piece. It's, you know, we put a lot of pressure on our partner to do this heavy lifting of making us feel good about ourselves. And I think that we need to sort of be happy and have self-esteem in our own relationships. And then if they do something nice, that's great, but that your self-esteem isn't dependent on it. But I hear you, and I hear that you're frustrated in your marriage and change needs to happen. And so I suggest you do what you can at your end. Nagging him is not going to work, right? But parading in front of him as the valuable mate that you are, so that you can remind yourself of your value, that's a good thing. All right, if you'd like to call in for a question, the number is 1-800-520-1534.
Dr. Wendy?
Yes, Kayla.
We do have a call. We have a call from Kathy. She has a question about her sex life.
Okay. Hi, Kathy. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I've been married going on 40 years. We got married when we were very, very young.
I was going to say, you sound like you're about 40 right now.
Thank you. Yeah, 17 and 19. We were very young.
Wow. And what's your question? We lost her. Oh, no. Kathy, call back and we'll bring you on air. Okay, here's one more question. How much time do we have, Zach? Oh, okay, great. Okay, let me get into this very interesting person question that somebody wrote to me. Dear Dr. Wendy, I'm in a long-distance relationship separated by the U.S.-Canada border. I'm in Canada. He's in the USA. We met online and have never met for a year. Now, that sentence is interesting to me. Does she mean that they met in person or they have never, ever, ever laid eyes on each other in the real world? I'm not clear on that. We met online and have never met for a year. We speak nearly every day through phone calls and messaging. However, he lost his job at the beginning of COVID and hasn't been successful in obtaining meaningful full-time work. His stimulus assistance has not been reliable. He's behind on rent. You know what's coming, don't you? You know what's coming. I have helped him out financially a few times and purchased groceries and medical stuff for him. I must preface that I had an ex that had a gambling problem and money issues are a trigger for me. Well, I will actually tell you that money issues are attractive to you. Now I'm saying attractive with my fingers making quotation marks. So in other words, this is a pattern for you. So she says, I'm financially stable. I've been able to continue to work from home. However, I can't continue to financially support him anymore. I care about him and part of me feels so guilty. So how do I tell him that I can no longer send money? I'm not an ATM. I don't want him to feel like I'm abandoning him, but part of me thinks that if he hadn't met me, he might have figured things out for himself. How do I tell him without hurting him or making him angry? All right. First of all, if you have never met this man, you have no business sending him money. I don't care what gender anybody is here, by the way. Do not send money to a human being that you met online and have never developed a real relationship with in the real world. Blame COVID if you want. Blame the border problems and the travel ban if you want, but there's no use continuing to invest in this relationship that is going nowhere in the short term. But here's the other piece of this that's kind of interesting to me. She says, how do I tell him without hurting him or making him feel angry? You know what? You are not responsible for his feelings. And indeed, sometimes giving a gift to somebody of their own feelings is a gift. That means allowing them to have their anger, allowing them to have their feeling of hurt. You already said by saying if you hadn't come along that maybe he would have solved his own problems without you. So you understand that you're a little bit of an enabler, as maybe you were with the gambler too, right? And maybe there's a piece of you that kind of feels safe with this control. I mean, he's not going to leave you if he needs you, right? So I'm going to be hard and strong. You know, it's so funny. This week I had a phone session with the contest winner from my, my Instagram. And she said something like, you're always so brutally honest. I was like, oh no, I am. Yes. Do not send him another penny and do not even invest with him emotionally. You see, what's happening is with those daily phone calls and all that messaging, he's relying on you emotionally. You're relying on him. But this is not a real world relationship. This is not something that's going to sustain you in the long run. You could find somebody right now in your own town who you could be snuggling up with and having a real relationship with. So, no. Get rid of him. Just tell him. And don't worry about hurting him. Don't worry about getting him mad. It's a gift of his own feelings. All right. When we come back, I'm going to continue answering your questions or taking your calls. The number is 1-800-520-1534. 1-800-520-1534. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Should I stay or should I go now?
KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show, and I understand we have some callers, and our first caller is anonymous. I think he's male. Let's call him John Doe. Hi, John Doe. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, good afternoon, John, or Dr. Wendy. Thank you for being on the air.
Thank you. What's your question?
The question is, it's one question, kind of a two-part and a three-part question, but it's geared around the reference to both the misunderstanding of the human anatomy, physiology, I guess, reference to self-administering copulation. And the question is, do in today's relationships, whether it's in marriage issues or non-marital issues, is there an issue with self-copulation with in terms of the male, if the woman catches him doing it on a regular basis?
And I got your question.
Is there an infidelity issue?
I got it. Excellent question. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what you're referring to, psychologists and sex therapists call autosexual behavior or masturbation. Right. So you have to understand that no two people have the exact same sex drive. And in fact, it sounds politically incorrect, but we know that men want more sex than women. It's just proven by science. And so, it's absolutely. And also, I want everyone to understand that long-term monogamy involves lots of fantasy work as well. So even if you're holding the picture of somebody else in your head, you can still be connected. So my short answer is no, I personally do not believe that that is being unfaithful. Everybody has their own body and their own sexual needs. Now, taking sex outside of the relationship with another human, that's another thing. Okay, did you have another question?
Yeah. Because for me, it was more of a mainly health issue, because I think both male and females really need to be aware of their health, bodies, period, especially with nowadays. And then two, culturally, if there's a male or female and there's a religious cultural issue there, how do you communicate that to a potential partner if they've never been exposed to those types of alpha male or fertility, communication breakdown problems?
So if I understand, what you're saying is that in a partnership, there might be somebody who has a religious belief against autosexual behavior? Is that what you're saying?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so I think all these communication things need to be brought up. And with love, the thing is, we have to respect people's religious beliefs, but nobody's in charge of everybody else, right? I mean, religions only become problematic when they try to get everybody outside of the religion to follow their rules, right? It's about us and our rules and what we feel works for us. Okay, thank you so much for calling, Mr. I'm going to call you John Doe. Thanks for being here. All righty. Do we have another one, Kayla?
We do. We have Ursi, and she has a question about confidence.
Okay. Hi, Ursi. It's Dr. Wendy. Hello? Is Ursi there? It's not working. Hello?
Hello?
Hi,
hello?
Ursi. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi. I'm glad you got me. Thank you for taking my call.
What's
your question? I listen to you religiously every Sunday.
My question is, I have
four daughters, all of which are between the ages of 18 and 32.
Wow.
I think I did an okay job raising them. They've all, they're successful, they're independent, they're confident and stuff. But I have one who's the oldest who unfortunately has had, quite a few bad runs with bad relationships. And she keeps, falling for the same type. I tried to tell her, sit back, wait, it'll come. You don't have to go out and look. Because, I've been married and divorced twice, and, finally, third time's a charm, I'm perfect now. But I wasn't looking, and I found. So I kind of figured that was,
What, can I ask you, what kind of relationship did she have with her father?
None.
Yeah. So you see, there's sort of a black hole where love should be in some ways. And so our attachment style is both. That's why you can say, well, but I've got four kids and I raise them all the same way, right? Because the truth is how we form our attachment style is partly genetic predisposition. Some babies come into the world with more anxiety around closeness or more neediness for closeness. And then also what happens to us in our early life. So our model for love inside our head is like a jigsaw puzzle made up of layers of three pieces. And those three pieces are the relationship we had with our mother, the relationship we had with our father, and the relationship we witnessed between the two of them. And so we're talking about a little girl who might have been missing two of those pieces. And she's trying to put it together. And maybe she came into the world with a certain genetic predisposition. My answer to you as a mom is you're totally doing the right thing to worry about her. But if she's 32 years old, the best we can do is try to get her to therapy, you know, get her to figure out what her patterns are and why, because we can change our romantic attachment style.
Okay. Well, then that'll be something I have to talk with her about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ursi. You're a good mom. Thanks for calling in. All right. Take care. Do we have any more, Kayla?
Not at the moment. Not right now.
Okay. I want to answer a quick one. How much time do I have? I never know. Oh, 30 seconds. Is that not enough? That's not enough to answer a whole question. Okay. So I have a bunch more listener questions. I also have some love hacks. If you're in a relationship, I've got a few love hacks that will help you improve your relationship. If you'd like to call me, the number is 1-800-520-1534. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. Zach, did you hear me drop out? Like, my program left my ears. Am I gone? Hello? Oh, I'm good. Oh, good. I'm like, oh my goodness. It was like coming in and out for me. All right. Oh, tech problems during the pandemic. All right. Before I get to more questions that so many people have been sending in, I want to give you some news you can use. Why don't I tell you a few love hacks that you can use right away to help make your relationship better. Here's a good one. I know I mention this all the time, and I mention it again. Touch a lot. You know what happens? We get into these long-term relationships, and we think we don't need to hold hands. We don't need to have our arms around each other or touch toes while we're watching TV. But these forms of affection actually perform a very important function. They release a lot of dopamine, and they calm your neurochemistry. They reduce cortisol levels. They're stress-reducing. Of course, if you're somebody who fears touch and intimacy, it can erase your stress. But for the vast majority of people, it's good for you. If you have conflict in your relationships, try to imagine the next time that you have conflict, or if you're going to talk about a really prickly subject so you know that person might get upset, try to imagine that you're a neutral third party just watching. And I want to give you an example of this. I picked my daughter up at the airport a while ago. She'd been away. And I always notice that whenever she comes back during her 4 years of college, back and forth, we would always have some kind of little spat at the beginning. It was like a re-entry conflict every time. And so this time, rather than me getting triggered by her, I pretended in my mind that there was a third person in the car watching us talk. Because you know, we're different in public, right? We're different when we have friends around. And I literally imagined that. And anytime she opened her mouth, I chose my words so carefully because there was that imaginary person in the back seat. And it totally worked. We didn't even have our usual fight. It was amazing. If you're looking for love or you're in a relationship that's new, I want you to dump the soulmate theory. Okay, there's no such thing as a soulmate. There are many mates that are great for you. And when conflict happens, see, here's the problem. When people have the soulmate theory, when they do get in a fight, they think, oh, well, it's not the right relationship. It's a sign. It's a sign. Instead of looking at conflict as an opportunity to grow, you see, our relationships are like a gymnasium for our minds, and we're able to grow through them. Okay, I've got more tips for you coming later, but I do want to get to some of your questions because you've written me so many questions. Okay. Oh, we have a call too. Okay, let's go to the caller. Who we got?
There's another anonymous. These men want to stay anonymous today.
That's fine.
He has a question about ultimatums.
Okay. Oh, good question. Hello, Mr. John Doe Anonymous. It's Dr. Wendy. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my phone call, Dr. Wendy. And let me give a real quick my scenario. My wife and I planned our retirements very carefully. And I'm 6 years older than her, and we did in a way so where when I retired, I would be home for, even though we're older, we have a young child in elementary school. Uh-huh. And the plan was for me to be home, take care of everything, just basically wait for my wife to retire. And shortly after I retired, she kept pushing a dog on me. She wanted to get a dog for our daughter. And and she asked me at one point where I had too many cocktails, and I said yes. You know, I would have said yes to a unicorn. But I said yes, but then when she kept asking, but I told her I changed my mind. You know, I don't want the responsibility of having a dog. I want to do what I want to do in my retirement, be here for our daughter, take care of everything, and I don't want my life to revolve around a dog, because I had a dog before. And to take care of a dog, it's a lot of responsibility.
It's another child. So, it is.
Yes, ma'am. It's like a child that never grows up.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, no. I told her, I don't want my life to revolve around a child. And she's, well, our daughter wants. When you said yes, I go, she's going to lose interest. She'll absolutely lose interest, and I'll be the one stuck taking care of this dog. And I don't want that. Because before I retired, people used to ask me, oh, what are you going to do in retirement? Everything I always wanted to do, but never had time for.
Right.
Long story short, she forced the dog on me. She says, if you don't get us a dog, I'm going to divorce you.
Oh.
And she was dead serious. And I said, you're kidding me.
Wow.
I said, you're going to divorce. So I very reluctantly said, yes.
So how long have you had the dog?
Too long.
How
and
long?
He's going to be four pretty soon.
Okay.
And ever since she got, and sure enough, I'm the one that got stuck doing everything for this dog. Because I'm retired.
Okay.
My wife is still working. Our daughter's
I'm going to stop you right
and
there.
Just turned me-
and I want to give you a little lecture on boundaries. So let me first of all help you understand what was going on with the dog. So when empty nests start to approach, now your daughter's in elementary school, so it's not necessarily an empty nest soon enough, but it is
I'm
this
sorry,
idea.
Junior high.
Okay. So empty nest is approaching. The contract of your marriage has been about childcare, right? That's been the contract. We'll stay together as long as we're raising kids. So unconsciously in her mind, she's thinking, I got to keep him caring for things or else this relationship is going to fall apart. I'm guessing, but I bet you I'm right. It's very common with older couples. I usually joke with them and I say, so you're getting the empty nest divorce or the empty nest dog? This is very common, okay? Because it's like they need to put their nurturing energy somewhere. Now, she has every right to have that desire, but she does not have the right to cut into your dream retirement by making you do the primary care. So I'm sorry, it's four years into this, but
yes, and
you,
I went.
She knows.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to say that it turned me from being one very happily retired person to one very angry person where I started to alienate my family. I stopped doing a lot of things that I was doing for my family. And most importantly, especially with this COVID, I find myself spending more time with this dog than with my own daughter. And I just wanted your comment on
the dog is a metaphor for your freedom. She has taken away your freedom. You had
she
the
sure
light
did, ma'am.
At the end of the tunnel of the things that you wanted to accomplish. Now, I want to remind everybody that every relationship is a constant struggle between individual desires and what's best for the union and the group and what the two can accomplish together. And you're constantly working those boundaries. But it sounds like you decided to go with her, but instead be resentful about it. So you've got a couple choices right now. Your choice is insist that she go to couples therapy where you can talk about your dreams for retirement. Insist that she use some of her employment income on a dog walker and you can just relieve yourself of it. Or talk about like the metaphor, like what the dog means. It's not so much like don't get into the, well, I walk him then or I feed him then and I'm doing that and I'm not going to forget that. Talk about what it means to you. What you feel you're losing as far as your individualism and your goals and how you feel unsupported by her in your goals. And talk to her about what her goals are for when she retires. It's coming up in a couple years. Find a goal that the two of you can do together that's not the darn dog. I'm just going to say that. But thank you so much for calling
No, you're right. It wasn't the dog. And thank you so much for taking my phone call, Dr.
Oh, I so appreciate it. So nice to talk to you. So this is what happens is like somebody pushes their own needs and agenda into the marriage, and the other person will acquiesce because they want calm and they want, okay, maybe it'll work. Okay. And then they end up being boundaryless and an enabler. You know what? He could have put a cage in the living room and said, by the way, whenever you're not here and not taking care of it, the dog's going in a cage. But he can't because he's such a nice guy, right? And he cares about animals. That's why he knew. People say to me, why don't I have animals? It's because I know too much. I know what they need. And there's no way I have that time and energy. When my kids were little, we did adopt a rescue dog for 30 days. And I put more than $1,200 into this dog in 30 days with the getting it fixed and buying all the stuff and whatever. And then there I was at 10 o'clock at night out walking that dog by myself thinking, what am I doing? This was supposed to be my kid's dog and I'm doing all the work. I can't. And so I took it back to the rescue organization with all its new contraptions. So whoever got it was very lucky. He was a cute little Simon, we called him. Alrighty, when we come back, I've got more listener questions and you're welcome to call in 1-800-520-1KFI. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I want to remind you that this is a special three-hour edition. I am going to be here with you today until 7 p.m. Pacific time, right here on KFI AM 640. So I do want to sort of read a couple of the questions that people have been sending me, and then Kayla, you can let me know if there's anybody else on the phone. And coming up, how toxic relationships can actually change you and your personality, the truth about polyamory, the rise and fall of new relationship energy, and some more tips, some love hacks to make your relationship better. Okay, quick question because you guys are writing me. Dr. Wendy, the girl I'm seeing goes out for drinks with boys that she says are old friends and people she used to live with. I try to not feel jealous, but I do. I know I can't control who she sees, but when she goes with other guys, I feel a little insecure and sad. Okay, so the answer is you need to talk about this in not a way that's needy and sad and whatever, but and not confrontational. But you could simply ask the question like, hey, the next time you go out with your guy friends, could I come along and meet them so that we can socialize as a couple? And if she says no, then say, I'm wondering why. Are you keeping backup mates? Or are you embarrassed of me? Can we talk about what this is? These are prickly conversations, but have them. That's called intimacy. Okay, another question. Somebody said, Dr. Wendy, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. I'm going blah, blah, blah over the compliments because I'm blushing. Okay, so I just get to the question. My girlfriend of 4 years cheated on me 3 times with 3 different guys in 1 year and went out with others, possibly cheated with them too. I've been doing my best since to treat her right, even after she cheated, but I'm having a hard time trusting her and almost anyone. I don't feel comfortable. What should I do? Leave or stay? I really can't believe this is a question. Leave, of course. This woman has a pattern of abusing your care and ignoring the boundaries on the relationship. I know that you're staying because there's something in your attachment wiring that says, I'm going to change her. I'm going to show her that I'm the good person that she'll eventually come around to and stay loyal to. No, you are not the cause of her problems, but you are enabling her bad behavior by staying. You need to give her the gift of the door closing and saying goodbye. I have this, this is somebody else. I have this boyfriend younger than me by almost a month. He is a Muslim. And when I told him my past, he cannot accept it. Okay. Here's where we're get into values, right? You know, you got to remember that human beings invented religions. Human beings invented these rules around dating, mating, relating. If you want more information about that, you can listen to my Mating Matters podcast. The episode is called The God That Clubs, to understand how it all evolved in our species. However, it's here. It's part of our present day lives. It's been instilled in us as a value system. And you have a choice. You can be with this man who thinks less of you and feel somehow embarrassed about your sexual experience, or you can leave him and find somebody who's much more understanding. Because why stay in a relationship where you're expected to act like a sinner forever and ever? Okay, one more quick one. Do we have any calls holding before I go to
the
next one?
We do have some calls, Dr. Wendy.
Okay, let's go to a live person then.
There's Kathy. She has a call about breadcrumbing.
Okay, Kathy.
Yes, hi.
Hi, it's Dr. Wendy. What's your question?
Well, a few weeks ago, you defined the term breadcrumbing or breadcrumbed, and my light bulb went off in my head, and I said, that's what I've been looking for the last year. That's what's going on. So my question to you is, why would a man breadcrumb someone when we weren't even friends with benefits or anything like that? We'd gone out a couple times in over a year, he would breadcrumb me, and I would say to him every so often, what am I to you? What are you doing? Because he'd make plans and he'd cancel them, and I knew something was, you know, wasn't right, but yep. I wasn't sitting home for him. I wasn't finding for him or anything. And he couldn't answer. And then when that happened, I was like, that's what he's doing. And then, of course, right after that, by accident, I found out his real story. So my question is, why do men do this when he wasn't getting anything from me other than maybe some talks about life, you know, about taking
He was getting all kinds of things from you, Kathy. Okay, just because we have a lot of background noise, I'm going to answer this question on the radio, and I'm going to ask Zach to turn off your mic. There we go. Okay, so here's the deal. When you use the term breadcrumbs, what I mean is some people will drop all these sweet little breadcrumbs to have you get closer and closer and closer to them, and then kind of push you away, right? So we have two different attachment styles that I'm seeing right away. One is you've got a little anxious attachment style. In other words, like you're kind of in love with hope that it could turn into something. That's why you're asking for definition. So there's a piece of you that stays even though you are not getting the love that you deserve. And on his side, and again, people with an anxious attachment style, and I can speak to you, Kathy, quite clearly because I had it for most of my life. So it's really me talking here, is that we spend an inordinate amount of our time analyzing the other person instead of looking for our piece in it. You know, I realized after dating these one avoidant man after another, that there was a common denominator in all my relationships, and it was me. But so that I can satisfy you, because I was a curious mind myself, the answer is he's getting self-esteem from you and your attention. He's getting emotional support from you and your attention. Many men like him will also get free sex from you and your attention. But in his case, he's not even getting that. But that is enough because that's all he can tolerate because he has an avoidant attachment style and too much feels smothering and engulfing to him. Now, this is not me telling you stop smothering and engulfing him and then he'll love you. I'm telling you that he cannot give you the love that you need. He cannot form a secure attachment with you. And when you are able to turn to somebody who can turn back to you and make you feel not butterflies in your stomach that mean anxiety, but make you feel peaceful, that makes you feel calm and loved and accepted, then you'll know what a secure attachment is. Kathy, thank you so much for calling. When we come back, I've got a couple more listener questions and how toxic relationships, if you stay in them, actually change your personality. And it's real hard to change back sometimes. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.